In the midweek rub today, the best newsbreaker in the business, Damien Barrett, although I've seen a recent top seven and I don't see his name in there, so I'm going to have to work out what's going on there. The cold front's moved in between the supercar driver and our man, and also former Richmond and Western Bulldogs star, All-Australian, and the hottest small forward in the game for about five rounds back in 2000 and when
ten,
was that?
10 rounds. It was about 10 rounds. 2005, Jim. 2005. It was a good patch, and I've seen too much of you. We did an hour boxing session this morning, and you had the sooks up a bit this morning.
I did. Well, you buggered it up. We've got an animal that trains us, right?
Yeah, I've heard this.
So the thing about it is you just got to be nice and quiet with him and let him have the day he's having. Never poke the bear. So anyway, after about three rounds, and I'm already cooked, Brownie, half-wit sitting here, goes, I'm not sure he's on his game today, our man. And so for the next 45 minutes, Billy smashed me to death.
Good.
You know when you're doing a bit of pad work and the guy with the pad, sort of, he's not in sync with you, and he messed it up a little bit, and it takes time to get back into it. So I just asked him, I said, are you okay? Ooh. His phone kept ringing, he looked a bit off.
And?
And he took it out on both of us.
Good.
He absolutely finished
Jim hit him, by the way?
He hits him okay, Jim. He just gets in there. He gets his job done.
Has he got ring craft?
Ring craft.
Oh, a little bit.
He tells us he has.
I'm not sure now, I'm ever fighting anybody. Let's put it that way.
I want to ask him about Jesse Hogan. That is the big news, I reckon. Because he's gone over there, big money, and said he's going to clean himself up and he's going to be right for round one. A week out, Jim, he's on the frothies.
Yeah, it's not a good outcome, obviously, Bill, is it? And you're right about him saying to the club that he was going to clean himself up. He was quite open in his assessments of his problems when the club asked him about them in the trade period of last year.
What was that situation? Because Freo would have heard the stories. They would have heard everything that happened over here.
Yep.
And they asked him directly, face to face.
Yeah, they did. And by all reports, Bill, and again, we don't report anything unless we feel, you know, or know it to be right. They did. And he was very open in how he answered those questions. And it was raw. It was, what are you doing? And he was open with it. They also, as you know, Bill, prior to that really in-depth interview with him, had put a pause on the whole negotiation around him. So they were, when you use the word awareness, yes, they were well aware. Melbourne was well aware too. So we get to this point, and now we're dealing with Jesse Hogan. I think it's in two issues now. Jesse Hogan, the person, and now Jesse Hogan, the footballer. But we're a football station. We talk about the football side of it. You're right, round one, unavailable, and unavailable for some time. And Ross Lyon today is in a very awkward predicament with bringing him into the footy club on the back of other poor recruitment decisions. Yep. And this is him only an hour or so ago in Perth.
I can put an overarching around Jesse. It really is a well-being issue here. It was an unavailability for selection because of the well-being issue and the mental health issue that we're working through. And then what was no suspension. What's wrapped around mental health and well-being is out of that space can be some dysfunction and some escapism that goes down that path. So I'm not prepared to go into any more detail except to say it's really important that we respect that and we work through that and recover our athlete to back playing for the Dockers.
Of course it's a suspension. To start being cute with words like this at this late stage, let's just call it for what it is. The club didn't like the condition in which he presented Brownie on the weekend just gone after the night before.
People are scared to question that at the moment.
Yeah.
Anytime it goes down, and it's a shame because anytime it goes down that angle, people are going to pull back and they don't know whether they can ask those questions that need to be asked. And obviously, drinking 8 days before a game, I mean, I remember playing round one, so exciting. You just get yourself set. There's obviously some underlying issues there outside of football that he needs to deal with before he plays football again, because drinking the night before a training session or 8 days before round one and you're the number one recruit going to that football club, that's massive alarm bells.
Mm. Well, not only that, Purple, but Ross Lyon, obviously an amazingly smart coach, would have been looking forward to this game, in other words, looking ahead to this game, and seeing that Robbie Tarrant mightn't get up. Mm-hmm. Scott Thompson isn't playing due to suspension. Magic Dore isn't available due to injury. So they've got the most depleted back line that North have put out now for probably 44 games.
Yep.
And now their main key marking forward ain't playing.
Yep. And it was going to be part of the double-pronged additions, wasn't it, with Laurie Lobb? And they obviously lost Lachie Neal in the off-season. And look, three seasons now since they
Laurie Robb.
Is that what I said?
Is there a timeline on Jesse Hogan coming back?
No, there's not. And I would think now they've made the magnitude of this decision, Brownie, to step him aside on the eve of round one.
So we're talking an indefinite.
It's indefinite, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, he's got to prove himself now back to the teammates as well, because they're not happy. And they've long not been happy with some of the recruitment decisions they've made.
Yes.
Harley Bennell, Cam McCarthy. You need to throw Kirsten into that too, Bill. And when I say not happy, he has had a few little issues himself, which have raised the eyebrows of some teammates.
And before that, Ross Lyon had Andrew Lovett come to St Kilda. So correct. He's got history in that area. It looks like he tries to get players back to their best, but it hasn't worked.
All right, let's just be positive just for a second. Tom Lynch, your old mob, the Richmond, will play, and that sets up tomorrow night beautifully.
Yeah, pretty exciting. I mean, Tom Lynch, in a good side. I mean, we've seen him, what he does at the Gold Coast Suns, and to play alongside Jack Riewoldt, who's had a baby this week, that two-pronged attack, I mean, you'd wonder how Richmond can get better. There's a few suggestions around there, how do they coexist, but I think Jack Riewoldt's a smart enough player that forward line now is going to be the most lethal forward line in the competition.
Setterfield plays, Sam Walsh plays, McGovern, Nick Newman, Michael Gibbons and Alex Fasolo come in for the Carlton footy side.
The Faz. I like the Blues. I like what they've done over the preseason. They're excited, and they've got so many round one draft picks on their list, Damo. Oh, it's only a matter of time, and people are saying they're not going to be any good, but it's only a matter of time. They are going to come with a... They're going to come fast at some point.
And are you convinced?
I'm not going to say they're going to beat Richmond this week. They'll go close, but I think Carlton are going to be a lot better than people give their credit for. I'm expecting 8 to 10 wins out of Carlton.
You know how many they won last year?
2.
The worst season the Carlton Footy Club ever had. They've got to improve. They've got to do something.
But they've got the cattle. They get Mark Murphy back. They've had a lot of players go out of the football club. And I think Brennan Bolton's had enough time now. I think eight to ten wins.
I'm convinced they've turned the corner, Brownie, but I'm not convinced they're going to win 8 games.
Well, but on with Bill, see. A bit like Brisbane. They have to turn. When you've got that much access to the draft,
talent.
You actually have to turn eventually. But I'm looking forward to that game just to see how the Blues, if they can hang in against an unbelievably good team. Mm. And then we get to the game Friday night. Yes, and the
this
Maggies,
is the biggest one, I reckon, of the round.
I can't wait for it. It's going to be an absolute beauty. We see new names, I should say, Nath playing for Collingwood, who are already a bloody good side.
Yeah, Dane Beams comes in. What a midfield that is. I mean, that's got to rival some of the best midfields that we've ever seen in the game. And I think Collingwood are just building that list. I mean, they've got 8 midfielders. Their 6th and 7th midfielder in Phillips and these guys, they can get 40 possessions. Their 7th midfielder is better than some of the 1st and 2nd midfielders.
We had Tom Phillips in here yesterday. We went through it. There's 12. While he's eating food on air, which is unbelievable. But they've got 12 midfielders. They bat that deep.
Options. And Dugowie definitely going to play. We hear from Nathan Buckley, which is brilliant. Love that. Also, the chance of Moore playing centre back. Jamie Elliott playing as well.
Yeah, I really like Moore having been able now to get through a full preseason, played the practice games down back, and this is what he was meant to and had planned to do last year. He's going to get a chance to do it this year. And I'm really looking forward to that going into this season as much as any individual with his new role.
And Roughhead, too. He'll play down back.
Good player, Roughhead. He was a good player at the Dogs. I'm not sure where that all went wrong, Damo, but that is a massive pickup for Collingwood because he can play in the ruck as well. Brody Grundy goes down, he can pinch it in there. That is a massive pickup, and I reckon he'll be more important than Dane Beams in the long run.
Your mob going to turn up?
Round one? They're there now.
Right.
Because since day one of training back in November last year, you know one thing they've done after their poor exit from the finals last year? They've been intense. Their training has been intense from day one. And a new look forward line with Tomahawk and the Radigalia. And then you've got Luke Dalhouse, Gary Rowan, Gary Ablett playing there. New look forward, which will hold the ball in this year.
Hello.
Not let it just
trample
out. Goal. So
you've got some inside knowledge.
Well,
is there going to be a debutante there, Bill?
Oscar Brownless?
Mm.
No.
Oh.
No, but there will be Jordan Clark. He'll play. And maybe Charlie Constable might play. And Tom Atkins is another one that's been outstanding. So some good kids
Jordan
there.
Jordan Clark is a good kid.
He's a very good.
Grabs it beautifully.
And takes them on.
Yeah,
he looks around. He just says, I'll have a little run and a bounce.
Constable plays.
He certainly close.
Going to be a very good player.
Certainly close. In other words, no.
He's close, Jim.
No. Well, if you're saying close, he's not playing.
Well, I don't know. How do I know?
They've all trained with intensity, though, Bill.
I said that, you dick.
You'd hope.
Don't take the PIO. They've been very... No, they have from day one.
Have they?
And we'll see it tomorrow night.
Will we? Maybe Friday night.
Everyone's the fittest they've been at the moment, Damo.
That's it. Running on top
Friday
of the ground.
Friday night.
And then 6 teams come Monday realise they're not any good.
Now, the Sounding Board, which is, of course, a podcast you do with Craig Hutchison, otherwise known as the V8 Supercar Driver. I should get paid a fee. because I notice, well, I get told that every single week I cop a clip.
You do.
But the sounding board this week, Hutchie has ranked the top seven newsbreakers in footy.
Yep.
Tom Brown, Sam McClure, Jake Nile, and we work our way down to Rhys Homfray.
Mitch Cleary.
Mitch Cleary. Mitch Cleary.
Mitch Cleary's there.
Tom Morris is in there. So, yep.
But doesn't he employ you to do that?
The man who's in there, not named, not in there, is you.
Oh, he had his own little asterisks on who could and couldn't get in there, and he spent all of 31 seconds putting that list together,
and
Jim.
And decided to leave you out.
See how he rolls.
The number one newsbreaker in the game.
How is Hutch going?
Yeah, well.
Good. I haven't seen him for a long time. Is he biggish?
Yep.
Good.
Hey,
he's doing well on that. He's about 80, 40 days off the alcohol.
Ooh.
Well, I need to take a look at champion data, yes. Nate. It's been concerning me for a long time. It reminds me of Hawkeye in cricket.
Yep.
We hand the beautiful game of cricket over to technology, and if you've watched a lot of cricket over the journey, you look at an LBW and you go, there is no way that's going over the top. And then Hawkeye comes through and it's 6 inches over the bales.
Get it wrong.
Absolute garbage. So I'm having a look at champion data here, and it's ranked the following players as elite. But no higher ranking you can have in their rankings.
No.
Paul Seedsman. Daniel Rich, Sam Menegola, Trent Dumont, who I love, the Frog, and Matthew Suckling are all rated elite.
The Frog.
So they are rated, Damo, above the following names. So in other words, in a higher category than Scott Pendlebury, Josh Kelly, Sean Higgins, Marcus Bontempelli.
Oh, it's not working.
Joel Selwood, Jager O'Meara, Josh Kennedy. Now give me a spell.
Yeah.
Champion. I don't know where you're coming from or what you're representing, but that is absolute bollocks.
You know when you have those formulas, Jim, and they allow you to then get to an answer? When you realise the answer is as it is there, you then need to then go and tinker with the formula.
I reckon.
Yeah. Or just tell people you have and take
and
certain names out.
These are average players, Jim.
Yeah, that's it.
Sean Burgoyne.
That's it.
Joel Selwood, Trent Cochin are just average players.
Average players.
Now, well, what is the criteria? We need to know that.
All I know is this. If you went to the 18 senior coaches and you went with the second list we read out, Pendlebury, Kelly, Higgins, Bontempelli, etc., and you said, tell me which of these elite names, Seedsman, Rich, Menegola, Dumont, Suckling, etc., exceed any of them, what do you reckon all 18 would say?
Your bull swag.
Not a one. Mm. So, champion, wherever you are, tidy your act
when they
right
got up. They're head of it.
And they got this list out and they looked at it and they looked at the players, they would have said, I don't think we're going to put this one out.
That's right.
They shouldn't have. They absolutely shouldn't.
You wouldn't employ the man who wrote it for a long time.
I'm not employing anyone, Purple. I'm just in here doing all that we can do. What else appeals to? Now, tell me about Taylor Harris before we get onto the first round.
Yeah, for those who haven't caught up with it, over the weekend, kicked an amazing goal, as she has done regularly in the three series of AFLW.
Yep.
And Michael Wilson, a great photographer at the AFL Network, took a photo of just an athlete in full flight.
Yep.
And social media being what it has become, Jim, has decided to then react to that in so many ways that Channel 7, I don't want to be too critical of them at the moment, but they then decided last night to remove the photo of Taylor Harris from their social
media.
Because
the reaction had been so disgraceful.
And they couldn't control it. Now, to me, the problem wasn't the photo. It was the people responding to it. And not the masses, but some people responding to it. So they then returned the photo to social media on the back of other people having an issue with it. So they had a learning out of it too. But I think we all have to have a learning out of it to just somehow stop giving air and a platform to people who have such views. And
so what do you do then? Not put it up?
Well, you have to put it up. You might need to moderate it
Can't
more
put it
efficiently.
Down when you do put it up, though. I mean, I think they'd get a sense of a victory there, all the trolls. And
it's exactly
to
what
be
they
honest, though, let's put it in context. It's probably 0.5% of the population go on there and they comment poorly. I think the other 99.5% of people are pretty good natured and just go, gee, that's a nice pick without having to comment on it. So you've got a really small market of idiots, basically.
Well, we saw it, didn't we, with Eddie Betts not long ago, Magic Dore just recently. I mean, those two have despicably had to put up with the most disgraceful racism all of their careers. Mm. And you just wonder, are we ever going to get on top of this?
No,
especially
we're not.
Once social media gets worked over.
Unfortunately, we're not, because people will stoop to the lowest of lows and seek to do so. Brownie's right. All they want is an acknowledgement and attention. They get it when photos are removed from the platforms upon which they were published initially. And when I said before about we need to get better. We, as a collective media, I'm not going to point fingers anywhere, but we have allowed the minority to have the voice. I mean, people write stories about social media has gone into meltdown on the back of so-and-so, and they are referring to Twitter handles and Facebook postings with where people have one or two followers,
good
and
point,
they are worthless. Like, their opinions should not count, and yet we write articles about these people's opinions, and this is allowed to be festering to the point where we have to now, as a major organisation last night, Channel 7, remove a photo. Which will win awards and is an iconic action sports photograph.
It is a magnificent photo. Yeah. Both legs off the ground, high in the air. It is unbelievable.
You ask, will it change? I think we're in the process of changing it just by having this discussion and the amount of uproar that has been brought about.
I don't have as much faith in society, Brownie, that we will
but
change.
But 5 years ago, this would have been swept under the carpet. No one would have spoken about it. I mean, everything you see on Twitter today is supporting Taylor Harris, supporting the photo and denouncing the people who are trolling them.
That's true.
We are on a certain path to getting better, and hopefully something like this can make us better again.
And that's our opinions on this, and this is Taylor Harris's herself on RSN this morning.
If this can help a little bit, or maybe even deter a few people from making comments like that, or even suggestive comments, that's all I can do. I'm happy to put my body on the line and do anything for footy, really, and for my team. So, and if that goes so far as a photo that gets spread and creates awareness for AFL women's, then that's something I'm more than happy to do.
Just when you think we're making progress, Purple, we slide backwards. Mm-hmm. You only need to look to Christchurch to get a very good example of that. Now, let's move on to this round of footy. A couple of games I want to talk to you about, and Nafe, of course. Melbourne, the real deal. If they are, they should dispose of Port Adelaide.
Comfortably, I think, too, Jim. At the MCG, it's going to be a nice day on Saturday, but Port Adelaide come in with some pretty big expectations of falling down the ladder this year, but they've got four debutants. If I was Melbourne, I'd look at that and go, four debutants, four players have never played at football, four players are going to have to travel over to the MCG. I think Melbourne have got the upper hand in this game comfortably.
Have Melbourne got the best list this year? With Stephen May coming in. That was the only hole they had was down back.
It's hard to say who's got the best list player for player.
I reckon Melbourne
I think most clubs around the top four, top five have got the same list, same sort of list. I think then it becomes how well are they coached, how well do they gel together. The preface is just a great list, I think. You can't just have that without the coaching staff doing their job either.
All right, let's look at a couple of other sort of 50-50s maybe. Adelaide and Hawthorn. If Adelaide are the real deal at home, they should do a job on the Hawks.
Expect them to bounce back. Expect them to be really good. I mean, all their players back, all their players fit. Hawthorn, just with a few niggly injury issues, going over there, expect Adelaide to get the job done quite comfortably.
I expect them to scream right back up
you're
to
big
the,
on them.
The top two positions on the ladder this
top
year.
Top two.
Yeah.
All right, the Brisbane Lions take on the West Coast Eagles, the reigning premier, with a month less preparation.
Exciting the Lions are, but I still expect West Coast to win this game. But I think we've got to hold fire on Brisbane. They've had a great off-season, had a great end of last year, but I want to see them for a couple of games first to see if they've been able to bring that into round one
and
two.
I still like them.
GWS and Essendon.
Not as bullish about the Bombers as everybody else. Everybody talking maybe the Bombers will play finals again this year. I think GWS will win. Not sure whether the Bombers have got the kickers, the elite kickers they need leading into 2019 where you need elite kickers.
Well, speaking of kicking, I'm doing the Western Bulldogs Sydney Swans game on Saturday night, Nafe and Purple. I had a good look at the Western Bulldogs in the JLT. I've never seen a team kick it worse. Take Bontempelli and Hunter out of that team. The rest of them couldn't hit a barn.
Yeah, and a lot of people thinking maybe Sydney will slide down again. We were speaking off camera before, or off air before, talking about how Sydney still have some really good young talent and senior talent.
Yep.
Expect Sydney to win this game. They play Marvel Stadium well.
I'll tell you what, by the way, we need to just say that it was a JLT.
JLT.
Game, so they'll be better in the main stuff.
Their goal kicking is horrendous too, the Western Bulldogs. Mm. Hey, Sunday footy show this week starts 10
o'clock. Oh, I can't wait, Jim.
Yes.
Bill.
Chompers.
Yep. Chompers.
Chompers will be back. Chompers. He had a big off-season, Chompers, bigger than anybody. He had the tennis. He was okay at the tennis until the last interview. I'm not sure that we can bring it up, though, Bill. We've been told.
I'm sure
top
you
five.
Will.
Are we under orders?
Well, they've got to be a top five.
Top five awkward TJ moments.
Oh, no. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, we think we can.
are we under orders, Bill, to not raise it?
Well, I've heard.
Tunnicliffe's already told me not to. Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Must watch it'll be, the Sunday footy show.
And footy show tonight, you're on that too.
Yes. Me and Lordo just doing a contained segment on just a little bit that's going on around AFL.
Like what?
Well, we have to tune in tonight, Damo. This is what we do. Just because what you bring clowns aren't on the Thursday night footy show anymore, you three baboons, I'm on there, and it's going to be ratings bonanza.
It's Wednesday,
by We'll be the judge of that tomorrow. It's up against the front bar, of course.
Good luck to Limo and there, Liz.
The juggernaut that is the front bar.
And Dylan.
And Fev.
And Fev and Croft. So you've got everyone on there. Mason Cox. Everyone on there tonight.
Burgoyne.
Now, when, as we let you go, when are we seeing you both, please? Purple, we're seeing you Saturday.
We'll see. I'll be there night, Friday as well, too, Jim. And then BT's big extravaganza on Saturday.
Stand by. Saturday, yeah. Rub. We're going to follow where the Brian's been, the Roma.
The Roma.
Because he's all over the place. What about you, Nath?
Thursday night, do Carlton, Richmond. Friday night and Saturday night.
Oh, nice servings of Nath Brown. All right, thanks for coming in, boys. Look forward to seeing you on the weekend.